Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss. I just want to make it perfectly clear. No one here wants dirty water. No one here wants dirty air. No one wants, you know, our rivers and our creeks to be polluted. We all want clean drinking water. And I understand that the south end of the county certainly requires clean water from that wellfield protection area. I think it's ludicrous to think that anyone would intentionally try to pollute our waters and do something to put that at risk. I simply found an opportunity to provide additional protections on resources that currently today are at risk. We could have not even taken that variance under consideration, and they're at risk already. And they're at risk with existing facilities, and they're at risk with other things that happen daily that we, this county, has no control over.
So, Santa Rosa County, that's Colton Wright, Commissioner for District 5, that's Gulf Breeze, talking about his desire to have a conversation about the wellfield protection area and about permission for places like the new racetrack to be able to operate within that geographic vicinity. And that was approved recently because the commissioners on a split vote decided that they liked and were so impressed with the safety precautions that racetrack was going to use to keep its tanks from leaking, seeping, spilling in any way into the water source for Santa Rosa County. And that was not an agreement that everybody had, obviously. But he said, look, what we can do is maybe use this new parameter that we've got in place for racetrack as a way of having other gas stations that are already in that vicinity, refurbishing them, revamping them, demanding that they actually go up to the higher standard of racetrack. Kerry Smith, District 2 Commissioner.
Like you said, there's things that we cannot control. We can't control the rail lines that are tanking, I don't know how much hazardous waste across the wellfield protection area. We got an interstate and Highway 87. I don't know whoever gets out there and counts all the tankers going up and down and the hazardous materials that are going up and down the highway as well as the railroads.
So this is kind of an interesting argument because what he's saying is, look, we already have things that we do not control over the water wellfield protection area. Trains can obviously carry hazardous material. Roads can carry hazardous material, and we don't control that. Therefore, we should allow other kinds of risks. It's not really a good argument because, you know, acknowledging that there is a risk factor that you can't stop does not justify, therefore, letting every other risk factor come in. Now, I'm not saying I'm opposed to the idea of what both Colton and Kerry seem to be trying to do. I'm just saying that this particular argument doesn't work very well. Right, you can't say, well, it's okay because we have some other problem, right? You don't define down your level of risk to the worst one. You try to cut back generally on anything that's an unreasonable risk that you don't want to take for the public. Ray Addington, District 4 Commissioner, that's Navarre area.
Since you brought up racetrack, I didn't vote for that. And the reason why, when they talked to me about it, they said, yes, that could leak, but they'd hope it would shut down. That's why I voted against it. Any of these tanks can leak, and they even told me they could, but they had safety stuff in place and hoped it worked. But they couldn't say it would work. It still might leak. And I just didn't believe we need to put that there.
It's kind of hard to hear the concept that, well, it still could leak over the wellfield protection area and then think, well, that's a good thing to do. But again, I think what the commissioners are looking at, I know what Colton is looking at, is we can make this a lot safer than the existing ones And maybe in the process, we can create a mechanism by which we demand a higher standard, even for the existing ones. Because right now, they're under no obligation to make anything better. But maybe this is a way to actually improve the overall quality. But Ray Eddington says, nah, I just don't think that I want to do all this.
I just don't like putting more gas stations when we got three already. And we need to protect this water till they can prove to me that it won't leak. And I don't think they can. Because my dad had a gas station, and we had to dig the tanks up. They leaked, but that's old tanks.
Mm-hmm.
But the new ones the same way. They do leak. I don't care what you say. They can leak. And they even told me that they hoped they didn't. They had all this safety stuff in place, but safety stuff don't work all the time. It does fail.
So two issues. Number one is, you know, is your standard going to be zero threat, 0% threat? And, some would say, yes, that should be the standard. If there's any chance that there could be a problem that might cause any issue within the water supply, then obviously you take a 0% danger approach to that. Others would say, well, we have these risks that already exist. They're higher. We have, existing gas stations that are more of a danger. And this is a pretty low-level danger. It's not a zero. It's a very low-level danger, and of course you always have to balance various interests whenever you're making a political decision. And, this is a philosophical difference, right? Ray says we need to have it at zero. Carrie and Colton seem to be saying something other than zero, but let's do our best. And by the way, there's an issue of the tank itself leaking, which is a very low probability. The kinds of things, the technology that goes into making those tanks secure is robust. But there's always the weakest point in the system, and the weakest point in the system is apparently, Studio 850 had a pretty good article on this, it's the joints, the pipes that come out of the system. And Jerry Cooey mentioned this yesterday, or Monday also in the meeting. If there's a small leak in the pipe, joints and pipes can be a problem, as you know from your home probably. Anyway, so Ray Eddington said, and something else is kind of funny anyway in the conversation.
I appreciate you bringing this up. Let's try to protect this water. I did not drink the water. In the bar.
What?
I drank bottled water. Y'all know that. That's me. But please, before we start putting more tanks and stuff in the ground, let's look at this safety stuff for the people here in Santa Rosa.
Does he not drink it because he thinks it's unsafe? Or does he not drink it because he just kind of has the habit of drinking bottled water? Jeff Kriegler from the Fairpoint Regional Utilities Service says, wait a minute now.
I guess first I have to point out that Commissioner Eddington, the water in Navarre is safe to drink. I'm in charge of that, so I have to point that out. But secondly, no, I want to commend Commissioner Wright on at least starting a discussion for some additional protections. Fairpoint Regional Utilities may not agree with the racetrack decision, but we're moving forward.
And he wants to just be sure that they are included in the future conversations instead of getting last-minute notice about this stuff. Ray, for his part, followed up with...
Yeah. I drank bottled water in Tennessee, too. That's just me,
Yeah, I don't know. I drink tap water everywhere I live. I don't understand the people who don't drink tap water. Jake, you're a no tap water guy?
Yeah, the tap water doesn't always smell the best. And then there was that whole thing where the sewer line got put into our freshwater line that one time.
That's
in
right.
Gulf Breeze. So
But unless you live in that subdivision...
Yeah, but still, I haven't really been a whole big, I haven't been a tap water guy my whole life. I grew up on a well that had iron in it, and I never was able to drink the water at home anyway. So, yeah.
The taste of it, I get that.
Yeah.
So, for his part, Kerry Smith took a little bit of offense at the implication that, Ray Eddington was the man for the safety of the people, and somehow everybody else was not.
Nothing is fail-safe to 100%. Now, if that is the case... And I'm not going to get in a debate with you. Do we get rid of the tanks that are currently there? Do we make them move out? Do we stop rail carry over that area? Do we stop interstate commerce? We can't do this. And
well, again, I think of it as a math problem, okay? 0% risk would be great. Let's say we are currently at, and this number is way too high, but, I don't know, it makes it easier to do the math. Let's say we're at a 5% risk right now with all of the various things that are in place. And what he's saying, and they're wanting to put in something new, or they kind of have approved to put in the racetrack, and that raises the risk to 7, okay? And what Kerry is saying, well, look, we're already at 5 what's the problem with going to 7? Are we, you know, you saying we got to go to 0? We got to get rid of the railways and go down to 4 and get rid of the roads and go down to 3 and get rid of the other gas stations and go down to 2 and 1 and 0? And again, it's not a very good argument. The question is, does each incremental step make sense, up or down? And just because you can't get rid of existing threats, risks, however you want to classify that, doesn't mean you should embrace new ones, right? So again, just kind of a logic mistake there. It's not that I disagree with what they're trying to do. I just think that particular line of reasoning is not a good one.
To predicate everything on perfection, we can't do that. We ain't in heaven.
Well, yeah, but still, not, you know, if not having a thing is a zero, just because you can't make a new thing not a zero doesn't mean that it's okay to have that thing. You might. Again, I'm not taking a position on that. I'm just saying, you know, you might say that unless it's zero, we're not going to do it. So we're not going to do it.
It kind of sounds like you're saying, hey, Commissioner Smith, you're endangering everybody in this county. And I'm like, no, I'm going to have to speak up right now because that is not what we're trying to do. And I just need to make sure that that's not what you're trying to express.
No, sir, I'm not. That's not what I'm trying to say. This is just the way I feel, okay?
Yeah, but he kind of is saying that. I mean, he is saying, I think we should not have any additional risk to the well-field protection area. And that's why I voted against the racetrack. Y'all voted for the racetrack because I think that's a mistake to bring any risk to the water field. And Kerry Smith says, well, it makes it sound like you're saying that we want to endanger. And remember Colton Wright's original, nobody wants to endanger, right? And, you know, endanger you might think of as a strong word, but that really is the argument that Ray's making. He might not want to say it again out loud once he's actually said it, but that is the argument. And that's what a lot of people are kind of looking at this and saying, why would you permit anything in that vicinity? Now, I'll tell you this. I think Colton Wright is a very, very smart guy. I think that usually he's going to analyze things in a way that makes the most sense. I appreciate that the Fairpoint Water Regional Utilities guy said that, you know, we like what you're doing. It seems to make sense. And if they can make the area even safer through the process of allowing this one very safe, maybe not perfectly safe, but very safe thing happen, well, then I'm interested in more. And that's what they're going to have. They're going to have a conversation about this on Thursday. And so I think a lot of people have a very knee-jerk reaction to this and, oh, God, how dare they? And it, like all things, you know, they're not trying to destroy the water in Santa Rosa. Maybe they know something you don't know. Maybe they know things that I don't know. Maybe we're going to find out more that makes sense. That's why we go through this process of having a conversation. So I just think we ought to withhold judgment a little bit until we find out more about, you know, kind of what they have in mind and what the whole scope of the solution might look like. Otherwise, we just, you know, we make these kind of quick responses to things just because we hear something that scares us. And, you know, sometimes that might be okay. A lot of times that might lead you astray. 523 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Banakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Banakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Banakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Banakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Banakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Banakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Exciting news, the data revolution is on the rise once again. Data Revolution is seeking a second-tier engineer with at least 2 to 3 years of experience in IT, networks, voice over IP, and cybersecurity. Data Revolution's competitive salary is based on experience, and their comprehensive benefit packages include a medical stipend, matching 401k, flexible work hours, starting with 3 weeks of PTO, 10 paid holidays, profit sharing, and more. This is not remote or work from home. To learn more about this opportunity, send your resume to resume@datarevs.com.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We're not here because we're free. We're here because we're not free. There's no escaping reason, no denying purpose, because as we both know, without purpose, we would not exist.
Good morning, 527 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. We did get one other piece of information yesterday. Had to do with Santa Rosa County. I know we've been talking about Santa Rosa County quite a bit this morning already, but we did learn something, because you remember we found out on Monday that we're going to get bids back on the flag? How much? Remember, what was the ballpark we were talking about before? 100, 150, right? Remember that was the ballpark? Want to take a stab at this?
I'm going to say $225,000.
$300,000.
Ooh!
And that's without maintenance? The 30, yeah. What was
that's,
it?
That's put it in the ground, running up the flagpole. Here you go. $291,000 from Keene Enterprises, $301,000 from the flagpole company. Keene had also said additional cost if they have to dispose of dirt offsite. Of course, they're not going to be able to put dirt down on asphalt, so that's going to be an additional cost. $300,000 just to put it in the ground.
How many people could we feed?
Meanwhile, we're spending $200,000 for the aquatic center study, feasibility study, $600,000 as the county match for the possible four laning of Shamukla Highway, just to give you some, you know, comparison prices, and $6 million for Woodbine and Highway 90 improvements. Just to put in perspective what $300,000 might or might not be able to do in other venues. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
House Republicans moving forward with a vote on a bill that would effectively ban TikTok in the U.S. That vote's scheduled for today. It would require ByteDance to sell the social media brand to an American owner in an attempt to address national security concerns. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. apparently has got a list when it comes to his potential running mates on the independent ticket. Apparently, he's been in talks with NFL quarterback Aaron Rodgers and also former Minnesota governor and professional wrestler Jesse the Body Ventura.
I know the Aaron Rodgers. I didn't know Jesse was on that list. Good Lord.
Boy, Jesse Ventura has just always been an interesting guy.
He has been, and he was the governor of Minnesota. What, 2 terms, right, as a libertarian?
Yes, I think he was. Absolutely.
All right. Well, hey, look, if you're already running the outside game, why not draw in as much fringe as you can get? That's what I say. David, thanks so much for the update. 529 News Radio 92.3. If you've got a BMW, a Porsche, a Mercedes, a Genesis, a Jaguar, a nice import, you know, a Lexus. You might think you got to take that to the dealership. You don't. Yeah, by law, they can't require you to take it to the dealership. There's actually a longstanding federal law about that. But also just, you know, convenience, time, the gas, okay? If you have to go to Destin or to Mobile or something like that, take it to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They work on those cars all the time. You know, domestics, they work on those. Diesel engines, yeah, they work on those. You might think that's a little specialty item, but it kind of isn't. But still, they work on those. You know, or gas engines, of course, no problem. Their philosophy is kind of to see you for the little things to avoid the big things, which makes sense. That's actually why they call it preventative maintenance, right? You prevent the big thing by seeing. But you know, a lot of people don't think about it that way. You take the car when there's a problem. No, take the car when there's not a problem, and then you avoid the big problems. Also, it's on your timetable. It's more convenient for you instead of suddenly all of us, you know, I can't. So anyway, Bobby Likas Auto Service, check him out at carclinicservice.com or just stop by right here on Davis Highway. Kites on the Coast is coming up. Council on Aging West Florida. That is this weekend, Friday to Sunday on Casino Beach.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Biden and Donald Trump have secured their party's presidential nominations, going over the top last night with wins in Georgia, Mississippi, and Washington State, and a Republican caucus in Hawaii.
This was a great day of victory.
Trump at a post on Truth Social. President Biden gives a speech, then attends a campaign event in Milwaukee today.
The president will share how this administration investments are rebuilding our communities and creating good-paying jobs.
White House spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre. Uvalde, Texas Police Chief Daniel Rodriguez is resigning next month.
He was on vacation May 24th, 2 years ago, when a teen committed the murders at Robb Elementary. Reports on the response highlighted failures in several aspects. Parents of victims were angered. An independent report did not find more fault with officers.
Fox's Grinnell Scott Rodriguez has been chief since 2018, on the force for 26 years. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It is 52 degrees, partly cloudy right now in Pensacola. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office is looking for a person of interest in connection to Monday's fatal shooting near North R and Godfrey Streets. Deputies say that Chelsea Rayanne Cicero is wanted for questioning only after a man was found dead with a gunshot wound to the chest. Sheriff Chip Simmons says while deputies did initially respond to a shot spotter report of a gunshot at about 3 o'clock that morning, it wasn't until 7:45 when the victim was found. Congressman Matt Gaetz believes President Biden shouldn't have been charged in the classified documents case, but he also believes that neither should former President Trump. That from yesterday's hearing with special counsel Robert Hur.
But it's frustrating to be like, oh, well, this guy's not getting treated the same way as Trump because the elevator's not going to the top floor, so we can't prove intent. While at the same time, Biden goes out there at the White House and says, well, you know, he just blatantly lies. And what I'm trying to figure out is whether or not Biden's lying because he's still so senile, he hasn't read your report, or whether it's a little craftier and a little more devious and perhaps a little more intentional.
While Hur admitted that it was conceivable a jury would have found Biden guilty of a crime, he elected not to bring charges due to Biden's diminished faculties that a jury may have been sympathetic to. Well, as long as Governor DeSantis agrees, the city of Pensacola looks to be in good shape towards securing some major funding dollars for big projects.
$2.2 million for Bay Bluffs Park, $5 million in for the airport, $7 in for the Baptist Hospital site. And as you guys all know, certainly we've got to survive the veto pen of the governor, and but we feel really good about that so far. A big thank you to our delegation.
And that from Mayor D.C. Reeves yesterday during his press conference. As their last act before the close of the legislative session, Florida lawmakers approved a $117 billion budget. With the funds, the city is looking to address major repairs needed for Bay Bluffs Park, add a terminal at the airport, and repurpose the old Baptist Hospital campus into affordable housing opportunities. Well, Rick Scott now joining calls for answers in Lakin Riley's death. Scott announcing yesterday that he and other Republicans had sent a letter to Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. That letter describing how Riley's alleged killer has a history of breaking the law but was never taken into custody by ICE. The senators say this raises serious questions about the ability of the Department of Homeland Security to effectively secure the homeland. They're asking the DHS to provide all documents and records related to the suspect and all interagency communications about him as well. 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast this morning.
Well, a good Wednesday morning. You won't need the jacket for very long. High temperatures are getting up into the middle 70s today with partly cloudy skies. As we look ahead to Thursday, the low temperatures even improve. We'll have 60s across the area and highs into the mid to upper 70s. That warming trend continues into Friday as well. Could have some small chances for rain Thursday and Friday during the second half of the day, but they're only at about 20 to 30% chances. Bigger chance coming up this weekend. That's your weather forecast. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer here at WEAR News.
Thank you very much, Joseph. And right now, 52 in Pensacola, 50 in Gulf Breeze, and 47 in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. You've heard me talk about one car dealership in Pensacola, Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. Folks, new cars lose 11% of their value the second you drive them off the lot. So for years, Frontier Motors has been saving Pensacola residents thousands of dollars by getting them into the best previously owned vehicles. And thousands of people have enjoyed Frontier Motors' no hassle, no pressure experience. Just the best slightly used vehicles in town at a fair price. But don't take my word for it. Look around, and you'll start noticing all the Frontier Motors decals and tags. They're everywhere. So if you're in the market for a vehicle, do yourself a favor and see the friendly folks and the huge inventory at Frontier Motors. You can't miss them. Just look for the big buffalo on the lot. That's Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
Uh-oh!
You've just discovered you have...
rats! Ew! What do I do? How do you get rid of them? I haven't a clue.
To get rid of the rats is no problem at all. The solution's inside Davis Hardware and U-Haul.
Hi, how can we help you?
I have a rat problem.
Oh, rats.
Literally, what do I do?
Davis Hardware and U-Haul employees are real hardware people and know what happens when infestations get out of hand. They have the experience to help you get rid of your, uninvited guests.
Thank you.
Davis Hardware and U-Haul on L Street just off Fairfield in the center of Pensacola.
Wrap up your day with all of the national, state, local sports and entertainment news with Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin on News Radio 92.3.
News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, I had a chance to talk to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons like we typically do on a Tuesday. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm always doing well when you're around. you did it again, by the way. I just got to tell you that
it sounds like a song.
We do our Tuesday interview, and then immediately you have like four news stories on Tuesday in the day. So I'm, what are we going to do about this?
It's not intentional. Yeah, what people don't know is you give me tips. And then we go out there and we make all these cases.
That is so... Anyway, I do see that the FDLE is having a press conference today on what they call Operation Kessel Run. It has to do with using the internet to sexually exploit children today in Pensacola. This is an operation involving everybody. But they do this periodically, and every time you do it, you catch people. Every time you catch...
Sadly, that is the case. Pretty robust operation, ICAC, Internet Crimes Against Children. We're always constantly doing that, and this was a multi-jurisdictional. That's all I'll say about it because I don't want to.
Sure, obviously they're going to have the press conference.
Yeah,
I do like the I do appreciate the Star Wars reference to the Kessel Run. The smuggling is kind of the idea in the Millennium Falcon, although I don't know that I want to name an operation that catches them. Anyway, that's too far afield for us.
I didn't name it.
Fair enough. I appreciate that.
Get off my back, man.
Before we get into the kind of the big instance of the last week, I do want to say I happened to be driving on US 29 a week or two ago, and now that the new ordinance about not standing in the median is in place,
right.
I did happen to see one of your deputies that had gotten out with somebody who was standing in the median on US 29,
right.
And I thought, hey, look, enforcement.
Well, you know, I've been saying for a long time, if there were enforceable ordinances or enforceable laws, then we would enforce those. But in the past, there have been the ordinances or laws that are under constitutional review. And knowing that, it's difficult for us to go out there and put our deputies in that position and put our agency in that position, quite frankly. But when the county commission approved the ordinance that does not allow you to stand in medians under 6 foot, 6 foot and under, we intended to enforce it, and we have been enforcing that. It requires a warning and two light cycles and that sort of thing. So we've been doing that, understandably. But you know, our hope is that ultimately people will stop standing in that median.
Is if people see it, right? I mean, I know for a lot of there are a lot of infractions that I think people feel reluctant to call in because they feel like it doesn't quite rise to the level of like right. a 911 or even the non-emergency number, or they don't want to be a pest, or I don't know. But if people see somebody standing in the median in violation, do you want their help? Do you want the report?
Yeah, if they can let us know, because a lot of times people will pick a corner, they'll pick a location, and they'll be there repeatedly.
Right.
So even if you know, it wouldn't be the highest priority call that we get. I mean, right. we're not going to stop and deviate from a domestic violence type call to go to it. But if when they have time, they'll go through there and they'll get out. And as you said, or as you saw, we'll get out there and talk to them, explain to them that there's a law against this. So don't do it.
And that's a call, the non-emergency number, not a 911 call.
Yeah, I would think it's, I mean, unless you're in traffic or someone's life's in danger, it's not a 911 call.
Which is, by the way, everywhere I've lived, I always program into my phone police, sheriff, police, you know, which is not 911, but it's the non-emergency number for PPD or Santa Rosa County Sheriff or whatever, because that way you can call those numbers if something comes up, because it's useful.
Right. Yeah. And if you just let us know, you know, where they're doing this, then again, we'll have deputies go out there when they're in between calls, and they can hopefully alleviate it.
You announced last week that you have found some more information and managed to, very good technology use, found enough evidence of a fingerprint in a blood sample from a cold case from, 30 years ago, that you're able to find the person that you think killed Stephen Davis.
Yeah, I got to take you back. 1998, we had a cab driver was taking a break. And then he ended up getting shot a single time, or actually got shot, I think, a couple of times. And that case has been on standby. It's been on hold. There were pieces of information. There was a vague video surveillance showed a guy in a red shirt. There was a bloody smudge. I couldn't even call it a fingerprint because they couldn't determine the ridge and the details that were required for a fingerprint. But they could tell the blood type, but they couldn't match it to an individual. We attached that to the victim's blood. But we couldn't attach the fingerprint to the suspect. So obviously, we have a bloody fingerprint. That's a pretty good clue, right? But we didn't have the technology at the time to figure out who that was. And we had a number of suspects, and they eliminated all of them. So they had no idea who did this. And by they, I mean the investigators back, 26 years ago. Mm-hmm. But then with new technology, the sheriff's office before my time had resubmitted that fingerprint to try to get it evaluated again. And then a couple of years later, they reevaluated, submitted again. And now we sent some of our crime scene people and our investigators to this training where they can better get pull that ridge detail that's necessary. And there's also some with the computerized technology and photography now, you can get a little better with that. So lo and behold, they submitted it again. This time it came back with the individual that it popped up on
who's already incarcerated elsewhere in Florida
for some very serious crimes. He wasn't going to get out for a number of years, but there's some closure for the family.
Right.
I had the opportunity to meet with two of the sisters, and one of their main comments was, man, I wish my mother could have seen to live to see justice, could have lived to see, the answers, why. And it was just a purely random act. Going back, there were some other things that put this killer at the scene.
Yeah.
And so, again, we tie all that together, working pretty well with the state attorney's office. And then we got a warrant signed, and obviously we served it on them. And he'll come up here and answer for the charges. Now, I think he's destined to get out like in 2027 or something like that. Hopefully, this will keep him in there forever.
Well, and two things that I think are a credit to your agency that show in this case. Number one is that you've been engaged in these cold case symposiums, so you're really very actively coming back and coming back and coming back to these cases that remain unsolved, these homicides, which you never give up on homicides. And then number two is that you mentioned it that you had sent your folks to a training, sharpen the sword kind of stuff. And they brought back with them knowledge gained at the training that allowed them to go back and apply new techniques to this cold case information and produce, a charge against somebody because of that. And both of those components, I think, are important in this case. So, credit to your agency, credit to your leadership for doing that. If you had another comment that you wanted to make about the cold case solution.
Yeah, you mentioned the cold case symposium, which we've had a couple already. And I think it's important to kind of note that what I wanted to do is gather experienced investigators from other areas. And one of those investigators was Ted Chamberlain, who I work with at Pensacola Police Department. Ted Chamberlain is probably noted more for being the investigator with the Jody Buoniano murder, the Black Widow. He wrote a book, written about it and all that stuff. So we had the opportunity to bring him in, and he's the one that said, hey, I was looking at this case right here. I think if you resubmit it with the latest technology, why don't we do that again? Now, I'm not saying we wouldn't have done that, but because we have a list of all these cases that we're going to resubmit with all when the technology comes around. But he said, why don't we put this one at the front of the list because there's a possibility here. And that's why I had him present at the press conference, and he was also present when we talked to the family, talked to the sister.
That's
so
great.
This is a pretty good
great
opportunity for us.
We also did have an incident. We had a man discovered fatality with a gunshot wound on R Street, and this was in the home or the building is a pending demolition for code enforcement too, or something. Is that right?
Yeah, well, I know we've had 14 calls to there in the last 3 months. Disturbances, EMS calls, just a number of different, a variety of different calls. So we're familiar with the address. This case, we got a call. We actually got a call about 3:30. A shot spotter indication showed that there was a single shot in that area. So our deputies arrived, as we do.
So this
around.
Was a shot spotter?
There was a shot spotter
okay.
a couple hours earlier, but we couldn't see anything. We couldn't find anyone. We knocked on doors, couldn't find anything, which happens way more than there's actually someone shot. The overwhelming majority of the time, it's a shot spotter. We get there, the thought is that someone's shooting in the air, someone's shooting the ground, target practice, that sort of thing. So in this case, we get there, we couldn't find anything. Well, 4 hours later, allegedly, some of the friends go inside. There's a motorhome parked in front of this lot. And then they get there, and they find out this person. They think he's had an overdose. They call EMS. EMS gets there, discover a bullet wound. Then we get the call. So now we're working it, obviously, as a homicide. That's all I can tell you right now. We've got some leads that they're running down. But we are asking if anyone has information to let us know.
Okay. And that's so the EMS discovered that he had been shot. But then, all the pieces of the puzzle, then you would, for example, you call the medical examiner. Medical examiner would come and confirm that was the likely cause of death and or do an autopsy if they're not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to look at a body and determine, what could have contributed.
Right.
But, yes, ultimately, the medical examiner's office is called. They send their investigators out there, and then they handle the autopsy part of it. And then the medical examiner will let us know the cause of death. Because, again, you got what appears to be a gunshot wound. You have to find if there's a bullet projectile still left in the body. And an exit wound, all that kind of stuff is helpful for us, the trajectory, all that stuff. But then you never know what else there might have been. Strangulation might have been some other cause of contributing cause of death.
Last thing I wanted to ask you about is I know it hasn't been signed by the governor yet, but the ordinance for camping that would give you the ability to remove somebody from, say, a park or a sidewalk or something like that, or private property, of course. But also, if there's a place to move them to, if there is a publicly designated area that has, there's a bunch of parameters on this for camping. Scambia, again, it hasn't been signed yet, but, have you guys had any conversations with the county about this yet? They're probably waiting for it to get signed, but have you had any conversations or, anticipation of how this might look when you're actually involved in the enforcement of this ordinance?
We haven't sat down with it. I mean, as you know, these things are amended up until the last moment.
They really are.
That they're approved. So that was just last week,
yep.
I guess, it ended up. But we haven't had a conversation with them. I mentioned earlier that we were enforcing the ordinance that they already passed.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you that we intend to enforce this ordinance as well and working with the county as much as we possibly can. I've been pushing a long time for this dashboard to kind of let our deputies know where, so when we get out with somebody, we can say, hey, it looks like there's room in the rescue mission or this other mission or other home. And so that we can all work together on these things so that whatever actions the county take, ends up taking, we're consistent. It's consistent with the law, obviously. And, it's that balancing act. You have to balance the law with humanity, no one's going to starve on my watch type of thing. But I'm convinced that the people that are out there are not starving if they don't want to be, to be hungry, I should say. But I have a heart, but I will tell you that if there's an ordinance or there's a state law that will allow us to remove them from the public areas, then we will enforce that. And my hope is that that's our job. Our job is to enforce state law. Other people decide, how many homes, what type of shelters that they have.
Right.
And, my expectation is that they will get on that so that we can have some sort of resolution to this homeless situation.
Fair to say that if this law gets passed and if the county provides the facility that's required by the law for it to be enforced, that it would be, you would find it useful to actually have a place that you could always take people to if you're going to trespass them off of public or private lands because they're camping. That would be useful.
Absolutely. I get complaints and calls every day, and I feel for the residents, and I feel for business mm-hmm. owners, and I see that. I also feel for people that may be hungry. I understand there's a mental health issue that needs to be resolved. Again, that's not the sheriff's office responsibility. The sheriff's office responsibility is to enforce the laws. And if there's a law, we will enforce it.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff, thank you as always for keeping us safe, providing for the public safety, and for spending some time with us every week. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Jake. Absolutely. 551 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about making a change with your car, and I know how it goes. The car relationship is a long-term relationship, but it's not forever. Typically, you first fall in love a little bit and you like driving around in that car and it's great and you enjoy it. It's wonderful. And then over time, kind of like it gives you a few problems. It costs you a little bit of money that you didn't expect. And then it starts to kind of give you a little bit more stress and cost you a little bit more money. And you're not so excited to get in that car. And then eventually you're like, is this still working for me? Well, when you're at that phase, that's when you got to go. I know if you're like me, you put it off too long. Okay. And to a certain degree, that's okay. But at some point you got to say, look, I'm worth having a car I enjoy. I'm worth having a car that I like getting in every day and don't fret over and don't have to worry about and, just know it's going to be there for me. And also, has, things that I kind of like as opposed to the older car that, kind of grown out of love with that one. That's why you go to Frontier, okay? 300 different cars and trucks on the lot. You can sample a bunch of different things. And, well, you'll probably, if you're like me, okay, maybe you're not, but if you are, you're going to find, the whole technology in cars has completely changed since you went car shopping the last time. And so there's all kinds of things to think about and to consider and to try out. So try them all out in a bunch of cars side by side, all in one place. That's Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Tax season is here, and it's time to turn your refund into peace of mind with Jim's Firearms. Jim's Firearms is your go-to destination for top-notch personal protection. You're also going to want to secure your spot for one of their upcoming concealed carry classes. Use your refund wisely and invest in safety. Check out their wide selection online at jimsfirearms.net or visit the store in Pensacola at the corner of Sereno Road and Blue Angel Parkway. Jim's Firearms, protecting what matters most.
Finding a reputable business shouldn't require luck or chance. But how can you tell who you can trust? Pro tip, the BBB connects people with businesses they can trust. So think of the BBB as the better, check with the BBB first, because better businesses are honest and commit to high ethical standards bureau. That's why they're better. Always look for the sign of a better business and find a better business anytime at BBB.org.
Is your house making you sick? Learn about the hazards lurking in your home that can affect your health due to high humidity levels and excess moisture. High humidity levels and excess moisture inside the home are the leading cause of insect infestation, mold, mildew, musty odors, and fungi, which can result in making you sick. Condensations on windows and vents, blistering or peeling paint, and cupping of hardwood floors are all signs of high humidity levels and excess moisture. Learn more today at 9 on Pep Talk with Lisa Murphy from Southern Climate Solutions.
We are tackling summer learning loss, turning the page on what was to nurture the world within. Gulf Coast Freedom Schools is a free 6-week summer literacy and cultural enrichment program for Escambia County students K through 8th grade. Apply online by May 31st, 2024 at gcfreedomschools.com. Class sizes are limited. We are Gulf Coast Freedom Schools, where words change worlds.
It's News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, the website, the app, or your smart device. It's news on your terms.
We follow orders, son. We follow orders or people die. It's that simple.
Ah.
skate park update, talking with our PPD. They feel really good so far about operations at the park. We have not seen any major issues there. We haven't. The biggest issue that we see, and I'm really appreciative of the upward intuition folks, and really just some of the people who love the skate park. There's a lot of self-policing happening there. That the biggest issue we see is graffiti from time to time. And next thing we know, there's an advocate of the park or someone out there with matching paint and trying to go get it figured out before we even know anything about it.
I love that. I mean, I love that the people who use it, the people who came to, you know, enforce over all of the years to get the Blake Doyle Skate Park funded and then constructed are also the ones who are cleaning up. And even as the mayor said yesterday, that is a testament to the skater community taking care of it themselves. The new proposed hours?
The original posting hours that kind of caused some of the confusion was sunset to sunrise, which is our normal park situation. The hours will be midnight to 5 a.m. Will be closed midnight to 5 a.m. Excuse me. So 5 a.m. to midnight. Let me say that correctly. Will only be closed from midnight to 5 a.m.
There you go. The old hours were Fiddler on the Roof hours. The new... Nobody? I got... Do you know Fiddler on the Roof?
It's out there, but no.
Sunrise, sunset. No. Okay. All right. Fair enough. That's the most thing I'm going to do today. Anyway, the new hours are 5 to midnight. And, you know, also he made an interesting note that different age skaters enjoy the park at different times. You know, the kids who are out at 11:30 are not necessarily up at 5:30, but the, let's just say, my folks might want to go get a skate in before they go to work. You know, get a little bit of an exercise in before they go to work. And, you know, they're happy to have it to themselves at 5:30 in the morning. 5:57 here on New. Oh, I also, he did make an interesting note. I'm going to have to ask him about this today because this caught me by surprise, only because it's historically always a conflict spot.
A couple other minor rule changes, just with some of the equipment that could be used. I believe it said no bicycles. We're changing that. And even though there's not a lot of bicycle use now.
Yeah, bikes in the skate park is always one of those, I hope this works okay, because bikes are super dangerous to everybody else because they're so fast and so big compared to skates. And, I mean, you know, the loose skateboard can be dangerous to the biker, but to anybody else as well. So talk to him about that, see what kind of demand there is. It's one of those things where I'm willing to, you know, see how it works over time, but I have also lived in places where they really did have to have a no bikes in the skate park rule because it's just not a good conflict spot. 5:57, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, we already knew this, but it will officially now be a rematch for the White House in 2024. President Biden and former President Trump both clinching their respective parties' nominations yesterday, setting up an official rematch. Neil Young is now back on Spotify, Andrew. He left the streaming service, you may remember, back in 2022 in protest because he disagreed with content on the Joe Rogan Experience, one of their top podcasts. But this week, Young said he's back on Spotify because Apple and Amazon have started the same disinformation podcast features. And Vladimir Putin says his nation is ready for nuclear war.
The 71-year-old leader made the claim on Russian television Wednesday, just days before the presidential election that will almost certainly give him another six-year term. In an interview, Putin said that Russia is ready for negotiations on Ukraine, but they should be based on reality. When asked if Russia was ready for nuclear war, Putin said, from a military technical point of view, we are. He added that he didn't necessarily see it on the immediate horizon, but if the U.S. sent troops to Ukraine, Russia would consider it an escalation. I'm Mark Mayfield.
We are totally ready for nuclear war, despite all reports of total incompetence of our military. You see how we did not do anything right in Ukraine, and now? No, we're ready. We're ready.
Also, 71, what a youngster. I mean, right? He's not even old enough to run for president in the U.S. yet.
No,
he's been the president of Russia for, what, 20, 30 years?
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.